To our new passengers, aloha and welcome. As you board, please move across your car to make room for everyone, and kindly offer available seating to those needing special assistance. The show will begin momentarily. Thank you.
Please stand clear of the podcaster. Por favor, manténganse alejado del David.
Welcome to Dave's Disney View Podcast, provided on our own version of the information highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold onto the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking please. Thank you. Dave's Disney View is a look at the Walt Disney World Resort and sometimes beyond, as seen through the eyes of Dave, a frequent visitor, a one-time cast member, and an engineer who simply enjoys the magic and wonder of it all. Now, please keep your party together and put on your virtual mouse ears. And by all means, enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it is Dave. Welcome back to another question and answer session where Dave plays sort of like a Disney dad for you to answer your questions. But this week I'm going to try it a little bit differently. I'm going to bring on a guest, my friend Kurt. We're going to talk about the questions and maybe get you a little bit more depth in the answers. Because the one thing I know is my answers are kind of one-sided as a former cast member and sort of a local. Sometimes I give a viewpoint that maybe not everyone agrees with. So let's bring Kurt on. Kurt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I mean, it's summertime. We're having a great time here. It's plenty warm, and I'm sure it's warm where you are finally, too.
Yeah, actually, we had a major heat wave last week. It got up to 90.
Wow.
People were going crazy.
Big change since the last time we heard from you back in your home state, so it's a nice thing.
Really? Yeah. Well, for those of your listeners who don't know, I live in the Boston area, so my experience going to Disney World is a little bit different than Dave's. Yep. I mean, I grew up in South Florida, so I've lived there, But nowadays, when I want to go to Disney, I have to go to the airport and catch a plane and do that whole routine. So my perspective is a little bit different than Dave.
And that's a good thing, and that's why I wanted to bring you on to be able to answer questions and maybe take a little bit different approach to some of these questions. All right, so we start off with a question from a lady named Heather. She says, hello, my best friend and I are seniors this year and plan on going to Walt Disney World and all the parks. So that would include Epcot, the Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and the Magic Kingdom. And, of course, this is going to be her senior trip in August. Since we're avid Disneyland goers, what should we see and what shouldn't we see in Walt Disney World? I'm pretty sure we're going to spend about a week there and probably going to wind up spending a day in each park, or at least I think. So I was hoping you could help us figure out how to best use our time for attractions, shows, and restaurants. Thanks, and any help is greatly appreciated. First of all, as we've talked about, Kurt, this is about the most open-ended question I've ever heard. So,
yeah, my initial response is just to say, do everything.
Yeah, you know, that's it exactly. You really want to go and you want to experience it. I mean, there's going to be some things that are familiar to you. Of course, you have Star Tours and you have Soarin' and stuff like that, so you could skip those. But you don't want to skip out on seeing the Magic Kingdom, even though the Magic Kingdom is still the Magic Kingdom. It's different between Disneyland and Disney World. There's some uniqueness to it that you probably want to explore. So I would recommend doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some rides that are, you know, that are familiar, and like you said, Soarin', Space Mountain, Star Tours, of course, the new Star Tours. But if you haven't seen that, you definitely should see that. Of course, the Star Tours at the Magic Kingdom. Walt Disney World in Florida is not at the Magic Kingdom. It's at Hollywood Studios. So there's one difference. There are some rides that are different. I'm told the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland is different than the one in Florida. I have been to Disneyland, but not recently. The most similarity there is the Magic Kingdom and Disneyland. But there are a lot of differences, too. And I would, you know, the most obvious being the size. I have been to Disneyland. And the Disneyland feels smaller. The Cinderella's castle and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty's castle are two very different sized structures, and all of the Magic Kingdom feels much bigger than Disneyland. So I would definitely recommend that you take in that. The rides that are identical, perhaps not. You know, again, Soarin is pretty much Soarin, regardless if you're in California Adventure or you're in Epcot. You know, and that's a long wait. It's a longer wait at Epcot than it is at California Adventure. So perhaps that one you want to skip, but, you know, in favor of doing something else unique like Test Track, perhaps. But, you know, for the most part, I certainly wouldn't recommend that you skip the Magic Kingdom because it's, you know, similar to Disneyland. Absolutely not. Just seeing the differences is fun. Looking at, you know, picking out the differences, you know, where they're different. And the scale, like I said, the scale is very different. The Magic Kingdom has a very different feel, even though it's laid out in a very similar fashion. So
yep.
Basically, you know, I would say, you know, except for maybe, you know, you take a couple of the rides that, you know, are going to have long lines and are pretty much the same in California and Florida. You know, there's a few of those, but there aren't very many. And I would just, otherwise, you know, just do everything.
Exactly. And I would recommend, you know, it depends on, you know, it's a senior trip, so I'm not sure how much money you have to spend. But if you have an opportunity to have a really nice sit-down dinner at one of the unique restaurant experiences at Disney World, I would suggest doing that. So if you can go up to, like, the California Grill or BOMA or one of those experiences, it would be well worth your time. So you could actually experience something a little different than you would see as far as restaurants go. And, of course, you know, some of the restaurants in the studios, like the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater or the 50s Primetime Cafe, their nature is just such that it's so unique that you really want to stop in there if you can.
Right. And that's, you know, that's advice you give anybody going to Disney World.
That's true.
Regardless of what their background was. So, you know, especially you pick two that are themed and very, very interactive. With the cast members, especially the Primetime Cafe, because the cast members there behave as though they're your mother from the 50s and tell you to keep your elbows off the table and sit up straight and you know and eat properly. So,
eat your vegetables.
Yeah, exactly. So and that is a blast. You know, if you want to be left alone quietly and just eat in private, that's not the place to go. But if you want to have a lot of fun, definitely you know make time to go over there. But there's a whole range of stuff. So, you know, other than, you know, I mean, there might be, a few rides, the lines get long, like Soarin', maybe Space Mountain, that maybe, you know, if it was a hot day and it was, you know, long lines and you wanted to spend time doing other things, you might pass by. But otherwise, I, you know, can't imagine what you would want to skip. So.
No, me either. You know, that's the thing. There's nothing I want to skip. It's always like, oh, I want to go on that. Oh, I want to see that. So I think that's a reasonable answer to that very open-ended question. All right, so let's move on to the next one. Our second question comes from a Joe in New Jersey. If you stayed on Disney at a resort, can you go back to the park and back to the resort and back to the park again? And the answer to that is a very simple yes. Once you've gone into the park for the day, it just reads your ticket as being an entrance to the park. As long as you return to the same park in the same day, it does not count as another park entrance. You can absolutely do that. In fact, I highly recommend it on the hottest days to head back to your hotel if you're staying on property and maybe use the pool for a little while. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, of course, Disney has set up their whole transportation system to make that as easy as possible. The buses, of course, if you're staying on property, the bus transportation system is completely free to you. It runs, you know, every 15, 20 minutes, a bus shows up at each resort to go to each park. So if, you know, if you're over at the Magic Kingdom and it's getting to be 2 in the afternoon in Florida and, you know, in August and it's getting to be 95, you know, catch one of those buses back to your resort, take the afternoon off, sit in the air conditioning or out by the pool. You know, and then when it gets to be around dinner time, you know, grab some dinner, maybe head back over to the Magic Kingdom for wishes. Or,
there you go. Yeah,
if you've got a park hopper pass, you can bounce over to one of the other parks.
Absolutely, and that's another good point. And if you happen to be staying somewhere over by the boardwalk, you can walk in and out of Epcot to make your life easy, or even over to the studios. So,
yep.
Kind of a nice way to be able to easily move back and forth between the parks.
Sure, but it's absolutely, you absolutely can, you know, go back and forth between your resort and Disney, again, with the transportation system, which includes the boats and the monorail and walking if you want, and the bus system, all of it is all free to you, you know, as a resort guest, and you can go in and out of the park. You know, if you have the park hopper option on your ticket, you can go in and out of any of the parks as many times as you want on the same day. If you don't have the park hopper option, which is a few dollars extra, you can go in and out of the same park all day as long as you want. So
there you go. Yeah, and I have to say that one of the things I like to do on a nice hot day is just hop on the monorail and take a nice ride around, because it's fun and it's included in the admission price there, and it's air conditioned. So there you go.
Yeah, and of course that's interesting to do, and you can take the monorail over, you know, from the Magic Kingdom over to Epcot and back, which is, in my experience, almost never crowded, and you know, a nice ride in the air conditioning, and you get to see a little Florida, and you get to see some of Epcot, and you know, if you don't want to actually go into Epcot, you don't have to do that. Just ride the monorail around and look down on Epcot, and then ride back out.
But, okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Great suggestion.
There you go. Thank you. All right. Our next question comes from a Chris. And Chris asks, I'm going to Disney World over Thanksgiving. Do you have any suggestions on where I can get a good and traditional Thanksgiving meal? And this is a question I encountered one year. I wanted to go to Disney around Thanksgiving, and I happened to be there on Thanksgiving Day, and I was like looking for somewhere I wanted to go over to, say, Boma to eat, and I called up to make a dining reservation, and was actually surprised to learn that Boma changes its meal to a Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day. So they have some of the traditional African fare, but more of it is geared toward the traditional American Thanksgiving. So I asked some questions, and it turns out that almost every restaurant on Disney property, at least the sit-down restaurants, changes over to have a Thanksgiving meal on that Thanksgiving. Some are more traditional, some are a little bit more non-traditional. They do some little bit different things, but they do have the turkey and stuffing. Some of the sit-down restaurants will let you order off the regular menu anyway. Some of them will not. They'll just offer you the Thanksgiving meal, and they'll have like maybe one or two other options, a vegetarian option or something. The counter service restaurants pretty much stay the way they were. They don't change over and do Thanksgiving, though some of them will serve like a sliced turkey with some mashed potatoes that they'll have occasionally. So that was my experience, and thought I'd share that with everyone.
Yeah. You know a lot more about the dining at Disney than I do. There's one restaurant that, darn it, I wish I could remember the name of. It's in Liberty Square.
Mm-hmm.
It's family-style dining. And they serve a traditional sort of a Thanksgiving dinner pretty much every night.
Yeah, that would be the you're thinking of the Liberty Tree Tavern?
Yep, and yes, I am. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
And every night they have a Thanksgiving dinner dinner where and family style in this case means that they, you know, instead of bringing out individual plates, they bring out a big, huge plate of turkey and a big, huge plate of, you know, bowl of mashed potatoes and so on. And, you know, you can go there as a solo or as, you know, as two people. But their menu is a little limited, but it's mostly Thanksgiving style fare just every day. So that's another thing that you might want to consider, especially with the Americana theme and the colonial atmosphere.
Yeah, the colonial atmosphere is really kind of neat. That kind of makes it, in a way, it makes it feel more like Thanksgiving traditionally.
Yeah.
Because it gives it that feeling. Cool. All right, our next question is from a lady named Janet. I've been to Walt Disney World several times, but never during the summer. I'm thinking about going in September. Is this summer weather? And what will it be like? Well, you happen to hit the peak of summer. There's a period of time between like the middle of August-ish until the middle of September-ish that's about the hottest time that Orlando gets. That's about the peak of the heat of Orlando. Happens to be inland, so it gets a little more heat at that time of year. So you can see some temperatures go up into the 90s, high 90s on some days. You will also get afternoon rains almost every day during that period of time. And the oh, by the way, is that happens to be the peak of hurricane season, which could mean that you're going to get more rain than you would normally get if there happens to be a hurricane threatening the coast, because the rain will come inland. Now, the good side to this is that during the summer, most of the parks have longer hours, so they'll be open till midnight. So if you see our previous comment about can I go to a park and leave and come back, you can do that. You could actually go to the park in the morning, stay for a while, leave, kind of cool down a little bit, and then come back after the rains have passed. So that's an opportunity you have.
I don't really have anything to add to that, except that, you know, having grown up in South Florida, Orlando, you know, does get hot. It actually gets hotter in Orlando during the middle of summer than it does in Miami, because they are inland and you don't get the sea breeze. And that summer doesn't really end until, October. So, again, it can start to cool off a little bit late September, but I wouldn't plan for that.
But
if you're going in September, one good thing about September is that the crowds do thin out.
Right after you get through Labor Day, yep.
Right after Labor Day, because all the kids are back in school. So from that standpoint, you know, at least that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that the park is not nearly as crowded. It happens to be a good time to go if you don't have kids and you don't have to worry about school. But, you know, weather-wise, what you said, Dave, the actual odds of actually getting a hurricane, it's not high. But it is, again, like you said, it is hurricane season, and that can disrupt your travel plans.
Yes, absolutely.
Just need to be cognizant of that. But prepare for the heat.
Exactly. But dress as cool as you can, and make sure you bring some rain ponchos or purchase one when you're there. That's my take. And one other thing I'd like to say is, since it is part of September is in the summer, as you're heading into a Labor Day there, if you do go during that time, the crowds can get a little bit high as you head into Labor Day. And I would recommend a little commercial message here to visit the touring plans website. Len and his team have done a good job of setting up a method to avoiding most of the crowds and most of the lines, even at that time of year. And you might want to check that out and subscribe to his service and learn more about it. All right. Next question comes from Samantha. She says, I've been to Epcot several times and enjoyed it, but I've heard mixed reviews from people with kids about whether they've enjoyed it. I'm taking my niece and nephew, ages 9 and 11, to Disney later this year, and I'm wondering what you think. Are there fun things for kids to do? Well, that's a good question, and I find that there are fun things for kids to do anywhere. You can always find something for kids to do. Sometimes it's just taking the little things in and just showing them around a little bit. There are character meet and greets, of course, there. And there's a couple of activities. They have the KidCot fun stations at each of the World Showcase pavilions where the kids can go in and they can, I guess right now it's Duffy the Bear, they can color with markers. Markers and kids always seem to be a problem for me, but that's okay. You can color that. And also there's the Kim Possible adventure that exists throughout Epcot that you can go around and visit different stations and learn more about it. And actually, I've never done that, but Kurt, I understand you've had some experience with that.
Yes. The first thing that we do every time, my daughter is 10 years old, the first thing that we do when we hit Epcot is head for the Kim Possible station, because she loves it. And you'll see adults doing it, too. You get a little communicator. It's a handheld device. It looks like an old cellular phone. And what it does is, and it's free. The whole Kim Possible adventure is free, but you get the handheld cellular phone device, and Kim Possible talks to you and tells you to go to a certain pavilion, and at that pavilion, go to a certain sign, a little bit like the scavenger hunt we had.
Yeah, there you go.
And then hit a button on the phone, and then a statue will rise up, or a train will go by, or a picture will flip around and give you a clue. And then from that clue, you hit another button on the phone and it takes you to another spot, and it is a blast. Do it yourself. But if you've got girls 9 and 11, and they love to explore, like my 10-year-old does, that thing is a blast. And like I said, it's totally free. You just have to find one of the Kim Possible stations, and there's two or three around the World Showcase. There's one over by England, and there's I think there's one over by America, and there's one down on the walkway between Future World and the World Showcase. So there's Kim Possible, and that is a blast, and the kids love that. So I would absolutely recommend that.
Yes.
And then you didn't mention interventions.
No, I didn't.
the when it starts to get a little hot out on both sides of the future world, the interventions pavilions have a lot of indoor stuff, interactive exhibits for kids. When you come off of Test Track, there's some interactive exhibits in there. When you come off of
Spaceship Earth, does it too.
Spaceship Earth, there's a large area in there with a lot of interactive stuff for kids to do. I would say absolutely. And the rides, for the most part, you know, Soarin'.
My kids love Soarin'. They had so much fun.
Older kids, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would take a 3-year-old on Soarin', but you know, Soarin' is good for adults and kids. And you know, of course, we don't know what her kids want to do. But
right.
But I would absolutely. You know, there's a million things to do over at Epcot. I would, like I said, my daughter loves the Kim Possible, and that's the first thing we always do when we hit Epcot is we head to the Kim Possible, even though she's done it a couple of times. But it's brilliantly set up, and it takes you around to a number of the World Showcase pavilions. And it is, like I said, it has a lot in common with the scavenger hunt you and I did.
That's cool.
And you will see adults. You know, you'll see adults with their Kim Possible phones walking around to the different places, too. Absolutely. Plenty of stuff at Epcot for kids today.
I agree. And I was just going to throw one more thing out there, too. And it may be more for older kids. The scavenger hunt we did was actually pretty cool, and it was a lot of fun to spend time looking at different things. You could take the scavenger hunt that we did or one that someone else has created, because I know there are several on the web, and kind of take that and kind of build your own sort of thing to look, you know, things to look for while you're in the parks, you know, and maybe especially in Epcot. And you look for those things, and you spend the time, and you explore those, and you kind of learn a little bit more about them. If you're interested in the scavenger hunt we did, I have all the books, the booklets, pictures of them online. If you go to my site, my website, disneypodcast.net, and click on the left where it says scavenger hunt, you'll find all the links there to everything. So you can, you know, welcome to make it your own. We had we set up a forum on the Disboards, and we actually answered all of the questions too. So all the answers now exist, as far as we know. And someone, and I want to give a little shout out to our Good Morning Dewdrop. She went through and she retyped all of the questions, so you can take them with you as a text document, and you can reorganize them in some way. If you want to do them by land or by area, you can certainly do that. If you want to spend a little time up front doing that, by all means, you know, take it with you. It may help you to develop some sort of interactive thing you can do with your kids as you're going along and have some fun. So as is often the case with Kurt and I talking about Disney, we got a little long-winded. So what I'd like to do now is pause this podcast, and we'll pick it up again in the next one and continue our question and answer segment. And remember, you can always send more questions to me at davesdisneyview@gmail.com. I'm happy to take on new questions, and we'll address them in a future podcast. Thanks very much, and if we can dream it, we really can do it. Bye now.
From all of us, thanks for taking a listen to the podcast today. If you're standing, please hold onto the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the show stops completely and the doors open. Ladies and gentlemen, please collect your personal belongings, watch your head and step, and take small children by the hand. As this concludes our journey, we hope that you enjoyed the show and that you drive home safely. Our thanks go to Doug at geekacres.net for his contributions to the show, and also to Craig for the original music you hear on the show. You can find Craig's music over at reverbnation.com/soundA. If you have questions, comments, or thoughts about the show, please feel free to contact Dave at davesdisneyview@gmail.com. Show notes and links to other great content on the web can be found at disneypodcast.net. Now, I will raise the safety bar, and a podcaster will follow you home.